Chapter 4. Inside Out and Outside In. Joseph's knuckles became stiff in his effort to hold on to the sparkling thought as it whirled and spun around. In fact, they had been spinning round so fast that the coloured thought clouds had all merged together to form a sort of thick, multicoloured fog in the centre of the tornado. Reds, yellows, greens, blues, and all the colours you can imagine glowed and sparkled like crackling electric in the dancing beams of light. As they corkscrewed down through the eye of the vortex and out the other side, the fog began to clear, and the first thing that came into Joseph's view was the top of a huge volcano. It appeared through the clouds like a great iceberg rising out of the water. Sam, who was still surfing the carpet, steered them away from the clouds and over towards the volcano. The volcano top was silent and covered in snow, with soft milky steam slowly puffing from the huge hole in the top. In the dim early morning light, it felt calm, still, and peaceful after the wild roller coaster ride of the vortex. Joseph felt himself begin to breathe a little more easily and relax his grip again. "You can let go of the thought now, Joseph," said Sam, steering the carpet out of the clouds. Joseph was able to get a much better view. He looked down the steep, rocky sides of the volcano and saw that it rose up from a beautiful island surrounded by blue, shining sea. There was a small town, a tiny harbour with little boats coming and going, and at the mouth of the harbour was a lighthouse, just like one Joseph had visited once on holiday. Some of the island was covered in jungle, and all around the outside was a beautiful golden sandy beach. The island reminded Joseph of a picture in his geography book at school. The more he looked at it, the more he had the strange feeling that he had been there before. Meanwhile, Sam was flying the carpet in a large circle around the top of the volcano, and they passed over the lighthouse beam as it shone out into the distance. The carpet came to a stop and hovered at the volcano with a golden thought floating beside it. "It's quite small, isn't it? The world of thoughts," said Joseph, kneeling on all fours so as to lean over the edge of the carpet and look down at the island.
"Oh, this is just your world, Joseph, your very own island of understanding," answered Sam with a grin. "The world of thoughts is bigger than you can imagine."
Joseph studied the town below more closely. "These buildings look very familiar," he said. "I'm sure I've seen them somewhere before. That one over there," he pointed with his arm, "the large grey one with the playing field, that looks just like my school." As Joseph pointed, the lighthouse beam swung across and shone down on the building.
"Hey, it is my school," he shouted, jumping up. "I can see it clearly now."
He spun around to ask Sam why it was here on the island, just as a grey, puffy stray thought cloud floated past Sam's head and drifted off into the distance. It took Joseph's attention as it wandered and bobbed on the breeze. Then suddenly, he saw behind it a huge tornado of sparkling, whirling thoughts that they had just passed through. It had the same funnel shape that it did on the other side, only now it was the other way up. Golden answer thoughts were spinning around and around, while other coloured question thoughts were spiralling in and disappearing up through the centre. The misty thinker cloud stretched out in all directions, a mixture of sky blue and white, with glowing colour thoughts sticking out of it from everywhere. Joseph studied the cloud in total wonderment.
"When the thinker thinks, thoughts are created," Sam explained.
"What?" puzzled Joseph, not understanding what Sam had said.
"You see there?"
Sam pointed to a blob of red and yellow fizzing thought that was bulging out of the blanket of the misty thinker cloud.
"That, Joseph, is a new thought growing. Each time you think the same thought, the thought grows a little bigger
Eventually, the thought grows enough to float through free of the thinker cloud. The winds of change began to blow, and the little stray thought cloud drifted back again towards the hovering carpet. "There are all kinds of thoughts in your head, Joseph," Sam said, nodding at the drifting grey thought. "This one here is a stray thought. It has no special purpose, nothing that it is meant to do. It just drifts wherever it is taken. Thoughts are like people sometimes, Joseph. They have no purpose, mission, or special thing to do. Then they just drift wherever the wind blows and often feel lost." "Now these are very different," continued Sam, pointing up to some coloured thoughts that were growing from the thinker cloud. "These have a strong purpose, Joseph. The silver cloud is a question thought, the purple one an idea thought, and the red and yellow one is a change thought." "I've never heard of a change thought," said Joseph, studying the red and yellow blob. "Oh, you know it," chuckled Sam. "You just may not know the name. A change thought is a thought that helps you grow your understanding about something. Sometimes a change thought can be a new idea or belief that you have, which helps you create a clearer picture of the outside world here on the inside of your head." Sam stretched his arms wide. "All of this is your world, Joseph. You have created it here inside your head to help you understand the world around you outside. That," Sam pointed upwards to the thinker cloud, "is where you create thoughts and ideas. And that down there," he nodded towards the ground, "is like raw putty without form and waiting to be shaped. It is made of a mixture of imagination dust, memory bubbles, and feelings fluid. When a thought from the thinker cloud touches the putty of form, it shapes into whatever the thought was about. Each time you think about the big world outside, you grow some new thoughts here to create and shape this little world on the inside of your head. This is your outside-in world." "Do you mean that none of this is real?" said Joseph, looking down at the school again. "It's real to you, Joseph. This is your very own personal copy of the outside world, like a model or a toy town you have created to help you understand how everything in the big world works. You could call it your very own personal map room." Joseph was still looking at the school. Children were arriving and chatting to each other in the playground. "What did you say this is all made from?" "Imagination dust, memory bubbles, and feelings fluid," repeated Sam. "What, even the people?" said Joseph, who was now checking the playground carefully to see who was there. "Everyone and everything," replied Sam. "Everything that has ever happened to you has helped to create your inside world. When something happens on the outside, you think about it in here, in your inside world. Your new thoughts grow and then float down from the thinker cloud. As each new thought hits the imagination dust, memory bubbles, and feelings fluid, it is molded and shaped into a copy of the thought." Sam paused for a moment so Joseph could absorb this. Then he asked, "Can you tell me what a car looks like, Joseph?" "Of course," replied Joseph, thinking about his father's car. "It's blue, has five doors and a wheel at each corner." "The reason you can tell me that is because you have a picture of your father's car in your head, Joseph. Look there." Sam pointed down to a car exactly like the one Joseph had just described. "In the same way," continued Sam, "you have a picture or model of everything that has happened to you." A whistle blew down in the playground, calling the children into the school. Joseph watched two boys having the last kick of their football, just as one of them booted it a little too hard and it flew over the high fence and into the garden next door. "That's Mrs. Bagwald's house, gasped Joseph out loud, his eyes darting quickly to scan her garden. And there she is! Joseph whispered to Sam in a hushed voice, drawing back from the edge of the carpet. And she's a witch. Joseph felt a shudder of fear run through his body, all the way from his toes up to the top of his head, giving him goosebumps. Everyone had always said how Mrs. Bagwalt was an old witch who ate small children for dinner, and now there she was with a big, black, crooked hat, just like out of a fairy tale. In the playground, a teacher moved the last of the children into the school, while behind the fence, Mrs. Bagwalt picked up the football, jumped onto her broomstick, and flew out of her house. Carpets can fly faster than broomsticks, can't they? Asked Joseph in a hopeful voice. Why do you want to fly faster than a broomstick? Sam answered, seemingly unconcerned. Because she's a witch, and witches eat small children, and I'm a small child, flustered Joseph, amazed that Sam didn't see the urgency of the situation. Have you always thought that she was a witch? Asked Sam in the same casual tone. Everyone has always said that she was, Joseph said anxiously, glancing over the edge of the carpet. Yes, but have you always thought that she was a witch? Asked Sam firmly. Sam's questions and calmness pulled Joseph out of his panic. He closed his eyes and searched the memory pictures of his past that flickered through his mind. He remembered a time when he'd been walking home from school with his friends and, like the other boys just now, had kicked his football into Mrs. Bagwalt's garden. As she opened her front door, all the other children had run away, but Joseph had stayed rooted to the spot in fear, unable to speak or move, and was surprised to see that Mrs. Bagwalt didn't look like a witch at all. In fact, she looked a little like his granny. And he was even more surprised when she smiled at him and gave him his ball back. Other memories began to flash up. More than once, Joseph had seen Mrs. Bagwalt smiling at him from behind her curtains as he walked to school. Yes, she was actually quite nice at those times, he thought. A very loud and sudden pop made Joseph jump and snapped him out of his memory with a jolt. The red and yellow change thought had shot out from the thinker cloud like a cork out of a fizzy bottle of pop and was hissing and whizzing red and yellow thought dust as it zigzagged through the air like a runaway balloon. Mrs. Bagwalt was still flying down the road on her broomstick while the change thought twisted and turned in a winding path as it snaked straight towards her. Then, splat, it hit her right on the head. And she disappeared into the exploding cloud of red and yellow dust. As the dust settled, Joseph peered down to see what has happened. She's changed, Joseph exclaimed to Sam in complete amazement. She's different. She doesn't look like a witch anymore. Mrs. Bagwalt was still travelling down the road, only now, instead of flying on a broomstick, she was riding her bike, and instead of being dressed like a witch with a big hat, she looked like a nice old lady in a neat Sunday bonnet. Joseph watched in silence as Mrs. Bagwalt parked her bike at the front of the school, took the football from the basket, and walked into the entrance. She's going to give the ball back, isn't she? Said Joseph, nodding to himself, just like she did for me that day.
Yes, replied Sam.
And the thought changed her from the witch into the nice old lady, continued Joseph.
You changed her, said Sam,
turning to look into Joseph's eyes. But I saw the red and yellow thought blob whack her on the back of the head and then she was different.
Yes, continued Sam with a smile. And you, Joseph, were the thinker of that thought. Remember, this is your world. It looks the way you think it should be. When you believed, without question, the people who told you Mrs. Bagwalt was a witch, you created her here, in your inside world, to look like a witch. You saw her the way you believed she was.
But what made the change thought shoot out of the thinker cloud?
You did, said Sam again. When you remembered some of the nice things that Mrs. Bagwell had done, like smiling at you from her window, you helped the change thought to grow a little more and break free. That thought had been growing ever since the first time you saw her differently, the day when she gave you your ball back.
Mrs. Bagwell walked out of the school and got back on her bike. As Joseph watched her pedal down the road towards her home, there was a sudden flash, and she turned back into the witch and then flashed back into the nice old lady.
"Did you see that?" said Joseph. "How mad! She just flickered from one to the other."
"Yes," replied Sam. "New beliefs and ideas can take a while to settle and stick. Sometimes we need to think the same thought many times before we fully accept it as being right and true. Everyone creates their own world, Joseph. Some people create a happy world. Some people create a crazy world. And some people even create a sad world. It just depends on what thoughts you choose to think."
"What's my world like?" Joseph thought to himself out loud. And for the first time since he had been with Sam, he felt the old, deep-down sadness inside of him. A dark grey thought cloud moved across in front of the sun. The sky became overcast, and tears started to well up in Joseph's eyes. Sam leaned forward, put his arm on Joseph's shoulder and asked in a soft, gentle voice,
"Do you remember the thought that first brought me to you, Joseph? The thought that you had been thinking just before I appeared in your bedroom?"
"I suppose so," said Joseph listlessly, suddenly not feeling very enthusiastic. He closed his eyes for a few moments. "I was wondering again about why I felt so sad, and then I made a wish to feel better." A shimmering sound, like someone shaking a half-full coffee jar, made Joseph snap open his eyes and look up. The noise was coming from the golden answer thought that they had followed through the tornado and was now floating at the front of the carpet. It was shaking and vibrating like a sparkler, with a shiver sprinkling golden thought dust into the air. Each time it shook, the shimmering noise became louder and the thought grew a little larger.
"This is your answer thought, Joseph. It has drawn you here to help you understand. You now know the power of thoughts and some of the answers. Are you brave enough to explore yourself further and discover the rest of the answers to why you feel sad and how to be happy? Knowing how to be happy is not something that everyone learns, and it could change your life forever. You will never be the same again. Are you really sure you want the answer?"
"Yes," replied Joseph in the fraction of a moment that it had taken him to listen to his heart. The answer thought started to shake again, vibrating faster and faster this time, and then whoosh! It suddenly expanded like a balloon, so big and fast that it completely covered the carpet, with Joseph and Sam on the inside of it like a giant bubble of golden light.
"Excellent," replied Sam with a huge grin. "Step one was fun and now is done. Step two is all about you. Onward, carpet, let the journey continue."